Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a privilege to be. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I will definitely need that. Thank you. You know, as Miss Jackie said, we've known your pastors for a really long time. And it was such a joy to sit last night. We preached each other happy in the first 5 minutes of sitting down for dinner. But just to hear their vision, just to hear their passion for God and for you, what a joy for all of us. You know, sometimes when it's your house, it's your pastors. You know them. They've been your pastors for a while. You love them. You appreciate them. But sometimes you don't know what you've got until somebody comes in from the outside and looks and goes, oh, Jesus, what you're doing in this place? What you're doing with these people? The vision to touch lives. You're blessed. You are mightily blessed. And this morning, as I sought the Lord for what he wanted for you today, I heard out of Acts 3 that it's times of refreshing. You know, and it says, repent. The times of refreshing may come upon you.
Amen.
But that repent is not always like you've been bad. Repent is just for this morning. Turn away from every other thought. Every care, everything that you've experienced for half this week, every decision that you have to make, turn away from any care or any thoughts of any of that. Because today, the Lord has said, bye, kids, have a blessed time. We have three little grandchildren. We have a 7-year-old, Elias, a 5-year-old Nicholas, and 2.5-year-old Olivia Megan. I always say both of her names because I have this thought that she is going to rule the world. But children are such a blessing and they're so much fun. And we have just found out recently, our children live currently in Austin, and the Lord has led them to move up to Greenbrier to be with us in Tennessee. That is an enormous blessing. I really am his favorite. No? Is it you? How many are really the favorite? Everybody in this room should lift their hands that you are the favorite of God.
Amen.
Because that's what he's going to talk to you a little bit about this morning in a different way. But anyhow, to have a time of refreshing this morning in the presence of the Lord, where you just really take that deep breath and just let everything go. Any thought that would have you go, what, well, what about? And what, I don't know how. Just let all that go. Because you don't know have to know how, you only need to know who. The how is not important. I heard a man said, God say this, and I'm going to take it because it really blesses me. He said, I am not surprised that the blessings of God overtake me every day, but I am surprised at how he does it. Because God loves you and wants to pour out on you. It's just like our children moving up with us. That was, of course, as a mother and a grandmother, one of the deepest desires of my heart. But more than that was, God, I want them in the place that you have chosen for them, on the path that you have for them. And so when this came about, they were planning to move from where they are in Austin up to Tulsa. And he said, Mom, we went up the first time. We found some houses because he had Tulsa on his heart. When he graduated from Bible college, he graduated out of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he said, we went up the first time. We saw several houses we really liked. And the doors closed before we could even get out of town. He said, so we went up for our second trip. And he said, we knew that we were now barely in the grace of God being in that city. And he was just, didn't know why, because he was sure that he had heard Tulsa. I think Tulsa was just getting the car on the road. You know what I mean? It was not parked anymore. And he said, so they started praying. They hit Jinx, Oklahoma, which is not that far out of Tulsa. And all the way down to Texas, they were praying. And the Lord began to reveal what he really wanted for them. And the grace of God began to flow. And that's what he wants to do in your life this morning. He sent me here with a message of his love for you. That many times with life in the world being the way it is, and everybody's got to go out in the world, that what happens is the voices start getting so loud and the situations begin to get so big that the voice of the Lord kind of, he's still speaking to us, but the thoughts in our head are yelling at us. If you've ever had a toe ache or you've ever had a really bad headache, you know the truth, but boy, does that pain have a loud voice? Of course it does. So this morning, the Lord wanted to talk to you about his love for you and how personal it is. And so you need to know that because this meeting was called, because your pastors invited us, because the Lord sent us, that the presence of the Lord is here to heal, and the gifts of the Spirit will be in manifestation in this house this morning. There will be people that will be healed. Minds will be made clear. Thoughts that you need to know about direction and wisdom will come to you. Decisions about jobs and finances will come to you. And so the more you will just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. I want to receive all that you have. Here we go. He'll do it. Because he is doing it. And it's getting you out of here and into here. That's going to make the difference for you. So as Father said, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit this morning. Not by any effort on your part, not by any trying on your part, but your resting in the finished work is how you're going to receive. I think for some of us, I was several years ago fired by the Lord from the position of choir director of life. Is there anyone else that has been fired from that position? You just really wanted to manage everything and everybody. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just raise it for us. That is the most wonderful job to be fired from you have ever thought of, where you now trust the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit and to do what he said he would do. And all I have to do is what he tells me to do. And a lot of times in people's lives, it's not much. Except to pray for him. And so it will be the power of the Lord in manifestation this morning. And that blesses me so much that there's no striving. There's no straining. There's no trying. And that's probably the first thing that I should say to you about the love of God is you don't have to make him love you. He loves you. He really loves you. And more than love you, he likes you. So if you have trouble liking yourself and you go, well, you know, I know God loves me, but I don't want to hear that but ever again. He loves you. You are worth Jesus. He loves you. So I want to take you on a little journey through the scripture, and I'm going to give you three openings. So you can either just write the three down, or if you're like me, you can stick your fingers in all three of them. You're going to go to John 3. John 17, and Ephesians 3. Starting with John 3. John 17. I will turn there so I don't forget where I'm going. As Derek told you, we were moved by the Lord. We had no intention of ever leaving the D.C. area. I was born in D.C., I was born on North Capitol Street in D.C., in a hospital. Old Sibley Hospital, which they tore down and built a women's detention center. That had nothing to do with me. And so we got married, we bought our first home, and we'd lived there for 37 years. We had never thought that we would ever leave or go anywhere. And we have friends that pastored a church in Tennessee. And so we go visit them, and they go, when y'all moving down? And go, well, you know, we might buy a little second home down here. And so we were down there one time, and our friend said, Derek, come with me. I want to show you this house. And this is big log home. It certainly wasn't anybody's idea of a second house. Sitting up on a hill with this beautiful pond in front of it and surrounded by acreage. And we said, wow, that's really nice. Well, we thought that was March. We went back to visit them in June. House was still on the market, but now it'd been marked down $30,000. Still a nice house. Boy, isn't that lovely. No thought. We got home. The middle of July, the Lord began to stir, because that was the end of June when we went. And we looked at each other and said, we're supposed to buy that house. We had no thought of moving. But this was one of those, you know, that you know, that you know, that you just heard from God. And he said, go buy that house. So we asked the friends to go and take pictures. They took pictures of the house inside and out and did all of that. We put a contract in on the house and we'd never been in it. We'd lived in our house all that time and it needed a lot of work. And the Lord said, would you let me do this for you? Would you let me have this house with you? Would you let me do this for us? Well, of course, I was just a basket case, just crying as I sat there, and the Lord saying he wanted to have a home with us in Tennessee. And so we had a man come in that had done some work for us and was a good contractor. We were just asking him if he'd help update the bathroom, and he said, Derek, let me help you do this. Let me take this job over for you. That was the first miracle. Then the job got done in 30 days. That was the second miracle. Put the house on the market in a very down market. We had a contract in 3 days. So now we have a contract, and we're all excited, except the realtor from Tennessee calls and said, this is the hardest call I've ever had to make. They've had a cash offer. You've got 3 days. So I called the mortgage broker down there and asked him, and he said, Sharon, we can get you any house once your house is sold, but until your house is sold, I can't give you the mortgage money. So we looked at each other, and Derek said, if we have to sleep in a tent, the Lord has said go to Tennessee, we're going to Tennessee. Our realtor in Maryland said, I don't want to sell your house, you'll be homeless. But we said, we'll sign the contract tomorrow, just as planned. Our broker in Tennessee said, let me make some calls. Maybe I can do something. And I said, you could do that? And she said, let me make some calls. So Monday, I'm just packing. I am packing. This was obviously not planned by me. So there's somebody in here that you're believing for something that people keep telling you is impossible, and I'm going to tell you it isn't right now through this testimony. And so Monday, I'm packing. It's all I know to do. And I get a call from my realtor, and she said, in Tennessee, and she said, have you seen your email yet? And I said, no. She said, I have someone that you've never met who will back you for the entire cost of the house. Wrote a letter to the realtor that was handling and said, if their house doesn't sell in the appropriate time, I will give them the money to buy this house. We'd never met them. We didn't know them. So whatever that thing is that you're thinking about that you're going, oh, well, you know, I know God would do that for. We're all his favorites. Do you see now why I'm saying why it's so important you to go, I'm his favorite? Because he's God. We're all his favorite. You know? So I will get to a little more of that in a minute. So now let's look at John 3:16. And we went. Yes, the end of the story is, and we went. And it's only gotten better. And now we are in the position, we are totally debt-free. Totally debt-free of anything, which is God's plan for all his children. And it starts with knowing how much he loves you. So in John 3:16, you know this, but it's very important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now, as a born-again child of God, it is extraordinarily easy for you to believe that God loves the world, isn't it? That he loves the whole world. He's not withholding from anyone. He loves everybody. All they have to do is believe that Jesus is who Jesus is and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. And that's it. But somehow that translation from the world to me gets a little harder for people. Because much of your life, you may have been looking at your past and how you behaved, whether that past is 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago. But see, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees you in the blood of Jesus. He sees you as he sees his firstborn, and he loves you as he loves Jesus. Is it hard for your mind to accept sometimes that he loves me just like he loves Jesus? So let's look at that in John 17. Let's look at Jesus speaking to us. As Derek said, this is all part of that Last Supper. This is all part of Jesus laying the foundation for the future of his church, telling them all the things that they would need to know. And then he spent 40 days with them after his resurrection, and I suspect that he reiterated and strengthened a lot of these things, but we're going to look right now at John 17, and we're going to start in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, we're not just now with the 12, are we? Or the 120, or the 500, or however many were there, we're not there anymore. This has now become now. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This went from world to personal. This went from world to me. Say out loud right now, God loves me.
Me.
Me. You have pastors with a vision, and you're with them, and so that vision is yours too, to reach this community and to go national and then international. That begins with knowing that he loves you. Because when you know that he loves you, the leadings that Derek was talking to you about this morning will be easily followed. Knowing that he loves you, you won't have any care or thought. There won't be any what ifs. It'll be easy for you to step out over that unknown and say, yes, Lord, because you know the magnitude of his love for you. When you see it like that, and this kind of revelation does not come by hearing my mouth say it this morning. This is just the beginning of it. I'm sure your pastor has taught you many messages on how much God loves you. But today I'm asking you to get alone with God and go, God, something happened in me when that woman was talking this morning. Something was said this morning, and it set off something inside of me. And there's something in there that wasn't there before. But Lord, I need help. Isn't that what Abraham said when God said, you are going to have seed that cannot be counted? And he was childless and his wife was barren. And he said, God, I mean, seeing that I go childless, what are you going to do? God said, get the covenant elements. And I will make covenant. He didn't even ask Abraham to make the covenant with him. He put Abraham to sleep so that he could do it all and said, just receive. But when Abraham heard covenant, he was done. He was in. It didn't matter what it looked like. It didn't matter what it felt like from then on. He was in because God said, I'm making covenant with you. As for me, Abraham, Abram at that time, my covenant is with you. So now to us as children, in the blood of Jesus, he's already made covenant. You can't break it. He made it with Jesus. You can just get in it. You can get into that love. And so this morning, I'm asking you, take some time with God today. It won't take a lot of time, but just say, God, I've never perceived your love for me like this. Something's going on in me. Lord, give me revelation and illumination of this love. Let me see it and feel it and taste it like she's talking about, because I want that. And when you do that, oh my goodness, will he make your way straight. I loved it when your pastor last night was saying, I start my every one of my days, I get up early and I fellowship with God. You know, there's no other way to start your day. Well, you're going, but I've got to get up and go to work. I have to be at the factory at 5:30 or 6. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take a lot of time just to go, Lord, here I am. I've just come to tell you I love you. I know how much you love me. And I'm asking all day long that we'll talk together. This is so personal. This relationship with him is so far beyond anything that you've experienced. And if you've had a wonderful one, it's even still far beyond anything you've ever experienced. Whatever we have had with God to this point, there is so much more. It is the kind of thoughts and what it does inside of us is that Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of God who lived back at the first part of the 20th century, said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Well, that's what happens to you when you start perceiving the love of God like this. Because what happens when you do is sometimes you just don't have words to say what's going on the inside of you. You end up praying in tongues and saying, yes, Lord. Amen. Things have been moving so quickly for us over the last few weeks that I'm in awe of what he does for me. And yet I know that's how he wants us to live every day. I'll give you another testimony. I just love testimonies. Amen. Shannon, my daughter-in-law, this is going to be very confusing perhaps for the people in Greenbrier when they move up, because our son is Derek. So it's Derek and Sharon and Derek and Shannon, and we're going to be living really close to each other. Fortunately, we called our son Duke, and that's the name he goes by, except to the guys he ministers to, which are all over the world. He ministers by the internet to guys that are in theater in Afghanistan. He talks to guys all night long and ministers, and they call him Padre. But Shannon wanted to be honest with the people at her company and say, when our house is sold, we'll be moving to Tennessee, and I just wanted you to know that. And her boss said, because two people had quit, and he said, I'm really thankful that you told me, you were honest with me. I'm just telling you that we're going to do everything in our power, I am, to see that they create a job for you off-site, because it's internet stuff. Well, then three more people quit, and now that man that promised her that was just promoted to vice president of the company. Do you think it'll happen? Do you think she will have this job, which she's so good at, they call her the client whisperer, that she'll be in Tennessee with us, with her babies, being able to homeschool and have a job and have insurance and have all the things because God loves her. She's his favorite. Now, turn over to Ephesians 1. Let's keep talking about how much God loves you. And you're going, why are you spending so much time on the love of God if this is a healing service? Oh, it makes all the difference in the whole world. Because when you know how much he loves you, if you've got something that we call out by a word of knowledge, or if you come up to be prayed for, The love of God is going to be so big in your thinking and so big in your soul that it's going to be so easy for you to receive what you need this morning. It makes all the difference. Now, in Ephesians 3, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified so that it will have the power that I want you to see in it. And I'm going to start in verse 16. This is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. May he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being. I could stop and preach there for 2 hours, but I can't do that. He wants to strengthen your inner man with all might and power. Your inner man is the real you. It's your spirit. It's your soul. It's how you think. It's what you base your life on. And he wants him to be strengthened with all might. Let's keep reading, because how does that happen? May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That is how you get your inner man strengthened, how the Holy Spirit is able to take hold with you as the comforter, the strengthener, the standby, and help you be built up as you are rooted deep in the love of God for you and grounded securely in that love. So often what we talk about is how much we should love God. God did all these things for you. You should love him. And we do. But what's the other scripture? We love him because he first loved us. But what does that love look like? It's not just words on a page. This is what you need to see. None of this is just words. This is the tangible love of God that he wants you to experience every day of your life, in every experience. Derek shared it this morning with the leadership. In any experience that you come into, in any way that you come into it, and you don't know what to do, it's so easy for you to stop and say, Lord, what word of yours do I need to know about this situation? What word would you like me to say about this situation? And then here's a key. What, if anything, do you want me to do about it? We are usually doers. We want to make things happen. We want to go to this place and do that and get it done and make it happen and have that sense of accomplishment. But I'm here to tell you that is not your spirit, man. That is your soul. And that's saying, I want to be in charge. I want to do it. And I want the gratification of doing it. But the Lord may just say, sit still, praise me, and watch. Well, surely you want me to do something. No, I want you to sit still, praise me, and watch. I want you to, and whatever it is, there's no physical action to it. It may be something as simple as, I want you to pray for this. I want you to pack a lunch, take your children down to the park. But Lord, I got it. When you know that he loves you, those kinds of conversations become very normal for you. Let's keep reading. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of that love. That's what I'm inviting you for this morning. Lord, I want to experience the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of that love that she's talking about. I've had a taste, but Lord, I want more. I want more. I want to know more. Now, last verse. What happens when you do this? Verse 19. That you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being, and all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. The richest measure of His divine presence comes from experiencing the love of God, not just knowing in my knower that He loves me. There's a far cry from going, I know He loves me. It starts there. I know He loves me. But then, Lord, I know You love me. But You tell me in Your word that I can know the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of that love, that I can come to really experience it for myself. I can walk knowing how much You love me. And You had a perfect picture of it this morning with all of these precious babies in this room, loved by everybody in this room, with their parents, clinging to their parents, dancing. One little girl, I just loved her. She'd dance and she'd look back at her mom. She'd dance and she'd look back at her mom. Why? Because she knew her mom loved her and was watching her. Folks, it's time for us to come like little children. Just come to Him like little children and say, hi, I just came to hang out with you. I just came to be with you because I just love being with you. Now, if you're saying, I've never had anything like that, you can. Now, I will prepare you that the first time you go, okay, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go sit over down here, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to wait on Him. When you first begin to move in things like this, your soul speaks very loudly. Have you found that? And so what happens is you're going to learn to quiet yourself down. And it may take a little while. The first time you go sit, you may be only able to sit for like 15 minutes when you just want to sit quietly with Him. But that's okay. That's a start. And I also learned for me, because my mind kept wanting to go what I needed to do, even things that I don't normally like to do, like wash the floor, my mind wanted to tell me, time to wash the floor. Because your mind likes to be in control, and you're saying, mm-mm, we're going to sit quiet with the Lord. So I would take in a little pad. And I'd write down every thought about what needed to be done. Okay, all right, that's done. And so you learn to wait. But you can talk to Him all day long in the car. I'm telling you, you start having experiences like this, He'll fill up your car so much you go, Lord, you got to stop, I got to drive. You'll be so aware of His presence, you'll be so aware of His goodness, you'll be going, Lord, what are You doing? I'm driving. But see, He loves you. This isn't something that you have to really ask Him to do. This is something He really wants to do. And isn't our first desire to please our Father, like all these little children wanted to please their parents this morning? That's what we want. And we keep thinking to please Him, I got to go to Africa. I got to go to India. I got to go work down at the soup kitchen. And all of those things are great things to do. But you know what? You don't have to do any of that. He loves you. You are special to Him in your life the way it is. And then what happens is out of this you go, you start knowing that there is one place that He wants that door open for you. I like something I saw on the overhead today. Go share your passion with your pastor. You got a passion inside of you, you haven't told your pastor about it, share it with him. Man's a prayer warrior. Ask him to get in there with you on that. Now, I have one other scripture that I want you to look at as part of this, and it's 2 Corinthians 6. Now, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit, and then we're going to allow the Father. He's been doing everything He wants to do, but we're going to allow Him to move the way He wants to move.
in the past have not been an easy crier. But I'm telling you, the things that I'm seeing in the Word about how much He loves us, I just get so overwhelmed. I'm just saying it this way. I leak. My eyes just leak because it's so good. Oh, hallelujah. I got a sister in the back. Look at verse 16. And I probably have us in the wrong place. Let me see if I'm... Oh, no, that's good. It says this. We're really after part B. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now, here you go, folks. As God hath said, who's talking? God's talking. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, just one quick one. Let me just read it to you. Mark this down. 1 Corinthians 6:17. The scripture says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So God said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. In the Old Testament, he talked about us being, or Israel being, the apple of his eye. Do you understand now, in your covenant of love, in the blood of Jesus, being the apple of his eye is not close enough for him? It's not close enough for him to be face to face with you. It's not satisfying enough. What do you think the day of Pentecost was all about? But for the first time since the Garden of Eden, he could come and overshadow and fill up his children. Heart to heart, one spirit with him. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants to fellowship with you. That's how much he wants you healed. That's how much he wants your mind straight. That's how much he wants peace and rest for you. In this same John 17 and in John 14, Jesus is talking to the future generations and saying, I'm going to leave you my peace. The same wholeness that I have with the Father, I'm giving it to you. Don't have a care. Don't worry about what's going on out in the world. I have overcome them. Yes, there's persecution. Don't care about it. What do? Daddy, I need help. And he'll give it to you. You know what people say, the old thing about, well, I guess it's come to prayer, that we've tried everything else. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing to say about people. Because we run to God. We run first. I want his word on everything. I don't want my thoughts. You don't want my thoughts. You know, if somebody says, well, what do you think about this? You don't want to know what I think. You want to know what God said for you right now, right here. And when you have been the choir director of life for any period of time, it is so normal to give your opinion. But you don't want to do that. And you don't want anyone else's opinion. You want the Word of God. And you'll find that where you used to call people and ask them what they think you should do and how they think you should handle this kind of thing, and you're going to run to God. You're not going to run to people. Because today he's more real to you than he was yesterday. You have awesome praise and worship in this house. I mean, just the Spirit of God flowing. I mean, I would encourage you. There is anointing in proximity. And by that I mean you can sit wherever you like to sit. But I'd be like right up here during praise and worship. I'd be having my toes up against that. And you go, well, that's not really comfortable for me. Probably not at the beginning. But you could start right back here. And I'll tell you what, you'll just move forward because there is proximity, an anointing in being close like that. We have a friend, an acquaintance more than a friend, named Clark Taylor. And Brother Taylor is Australian. He was born again in a Billy Graham meeting in Brisbane. 60 years ago. His family owned a station on the outback, and he never saw people. They went to town twice a year. And so he brought his life to the ministry. He was trained up in a Methodist school, and he didn't do too good in there because he had learned to live with God. And when Brother Clark comes into a meeting, this is what Brother Clark says. Good day, mate. Lord loves you, really loves you, but he really likes you. He really likes you. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to be your mate. And I've watched people melt as Clark did that. But Clark is one of the wisest men of God that I've ever known. They've planted over 10,000 churches. And when you're a pastor and you're going to plant a church or you're the prayer team for a church, he says, come up here and gather around me. Come up and gather around me. And he's got us all right here. You can't move. Well, now that's not comfortable for most people. You know what? He doesn't care because he knows God and he knows what happens in that. And when those pastors go out that he's planting, let me tell you what, those churches begin on the streets as people are healed and delivered and made whole on the street. But that's a different message. Hallelujah. Now, I want to close by talking to you a little bit about this. God is not a withholder, he's a giver. And you've been perhaps looking at your past and thinking about, well, you know, maybe this is because about the situation in my body. Maybe this is because, no. Because when the Lord looks at you, he sees you through that shed blood. That was the whole picture for us. When the first covenant was read by Moses, he took the blood and he sprinkled it on the word and on the people. That was our picture that God gave us, that when he sees us, he sees us through that protective covering of the blood. And you may be thinking, well, you know, maybe the Lord wants to teach me something through this. Could I hear a resounding no? No. No. John 10:10, if you are in something that's coming against your body, and it's been going on for a while, those thoughts are brought by the enemy to try to get you to think that this is okay because God. It says that the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. The Lord does not use sickness and disease to teach you anything. He uses his word. His spirit coming and ministering to you, but he teaches us by truth. You go, well, I had an experience and this happened and I learned, but the experience didn't teach you. The experience drove you to God and God taught you. So don't, if that's ever been something that you've heard, even in recent moments, well, I just believe because you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for singing those blood songs this morning. Whoa, you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been made clean. You've been made whole. I encourage you to, on your own, read all of Ephesians 1 because it talks to you how God sees you as his child, that before the foundation of the world, he made you his. He was just waiting for you to walk into it. And it says that you are accepted in the beloved. Do you know that that word beloved there is the same word when the angel spoke to his mother Mary and said, you are highly favored of the Lord. Beloved, highly favored, his favorite. His child, the one he loves, the one he wants to walk in wholeness in this earth all the days of your life. Not any sickness, not the slightest to the most severe. It thrilled my heart last night to hear the testimonies that are coming out of this ministry of people being healed of cancer, of people being delivered, of things that are going on. We're seeing it where we go. We're seeing things disappear out of bodies that were causing great pain. And 2 days later, the young woman goes into the doctor. They're doing a sonogram because the doctors are planning to do exploratory surgery. And they do a sonogram and it's all gone. I mean, these things, instantaneous healings of backs, instantaneous healings of pains in different places. The fire of God flowing into bodies that were diagnosed with cancer and people that couldn't walk running the room. I mean, we're seeing this now. Several years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the great healing overflow and outpouring has begun. The greatest that has ever been seen. And I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do with that? And he said, I want you to pray about it. I want you to expect to be in it, and I want you to pray that all of my children will be in their place for it. Because we need to be strong, healthy, sickness, disease free. No oppression, no depression. Do you understand that it says in Isaiah 53 that the Lord is not trying to punish you? He punished Jesus for you. It pleased the Father to bruise him. You're going, how could he be a good father? Because he and Jesus had already agreed. This is what it was going to look like. And in Hebrews 12, it says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What? Like, I'm taking that on for them. I will carry it so they don't have to. Oppression, depression, any kind of mental illness, anything to do with your body, you know that is not the will of God and not what he would have for you, period. So this morning, I want you to see in this final statement of love. You remember the story of David and Jonathan? That David and Jonathan cut covenant. Jonathan is now dead. David is king. And David says, isn't there anyone to whom I can show mercy on behalf of Jonathan? Do you know what that word mercy is? Hesed. H-E-S-E-D, C-H-E-S-E-D. But hesed, the loving kindness and tender mercy of God that God eagerly yearns over all of his children with. And it's like God saying, is there anyone this morning that will receive my love poured out and receive your healing, not through any action of yours, but completely from him? All he's asking for you is say, Daddy, he is your daddy. Daddy, yes. Yes, Daddy, I receive. I receive all you've got. You don't have to do anything this morning. There's no striving to receiving healing. It's a rest. You don't have to pray in tongues. If I have a healing, I don't know what it's going to look like yet. If there's a healing line, you don't have to come up. No, just come up and just go, oh, Daddy, I know it's mine now. I heard her. I heard what she said. I know it's mine. I'm taking it. Hallelujah. Let your reasonings go. Let all the weight of it go. Well, you don't know how long I've had this. It doesn't matter. Well, you don't know what the doctor said. No, but I know Jesus. I know that it's a finished work in his eyes, and you've already been set free. Somebody healed of cancer. Somebody healed of blockages in their intestines. People having back pains that they've had for years. There was a woman that I know, a missionary, that had a staph infection, a raging staph infection, in tremendous pain. And the doctor said, you can write your epitaph now. We can't do anything for you. She's out preaching the gospel in tremendous pain. Right in the middle of the meeting, the Lord heals her, and the next morning she's jogging. Do you understand that nothing is too big for God? But also, it's already done. This is our stepping in and receiving it. It's like your pastors and you guys blessed us with a beautiful basket in our room when we got there yesterday. Miss Jackie said, did it have too much junk food? I said, is there too much junk food? But there was this beautiful basket with this beautiful little flower pot in it, filled with flowers. What did I do to earn that? Nothing. I just said, wow, thanks. That's it with God. You know, we want to spiritualize everything. Listen, folks, he's just looking for you to go. He said, you're going to let me do it today? Are you going to receive it today? Really? You're going to receive it? You're going to promise? You're going to receive the healing that I have for you? So today, let me get your jobs straight. He's the healer. You're the receiver. That's it. So is there a keyboard player that could come up and play the keyboard for me? Brother, just whatever. Really? Oh, no, no, no. Don't go up there then. Oh, yeah, let's get this out of the way. Don't go up there then. Really? Really? Where's your back hurt? Is there a backup piano player? Where's it hurt?
I had surgery in 2008. Severe back pain. God healed the bone. They said that they had to cut the bone with it. So intact. That's one miracle. But a couple of days ago, I hurt my back. I was mediating.
Okay.
Not to do all kinds of things.
Are you in pain now?
Yes, I am.
Show me where the pain is, please. All the way down. Okay, Derek, I'm going to ask you to put your hand there. Folks, now this is not watch TV. This is an add your faith. You can just, if you want, if you're a worshiper, like Amy, just worship. If you want to pray, pray. But add your faith, because this is all of us doing this together. We're just bringing ourselves together for God. Father.